Lesson for the morning is Becoming Like God, and our text is John chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. This year we're going through the Gospel of John, so that's why we've had all these lessons in John, is because that's what we're doing, is we're going through John. And so we're going to try to get the benefit of this lesson. Text reads as follows: But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Now, the Gospel of John is the record of the activities of Jesus Christ, the one that, by grace, causes the transition of the Jewish society from the dispensation of law to the dispensation of grace. It would be good for the society and for our relationship with God if we all followed the law, but Jesus comes to answer the question, what should we do if we or someone else fails to follow the law? Of course, the law contains its own answer to the question of the consequences for breaking the law. We subdivide the law into two parts, the moral law and the ceremonial law. The moral law tells us what we should and should not do. The ceremonial law designates what we should do if someone breaks the moral law. The ceremonial law is weak, however, because the thrust of the ceremonial law is retribution rather than redemption, and separation rather than salvation. Verse 12 and 13 of our text tells us that we are, if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, considered the children of God. Although we as children do sometimes break the law, a good father generally does not seek retribution and separation from his child, but seeks to redeem his child and save him from the future consequences of his present immaturity. A good father lives with his child, instructing his child, and trying to keep his child on the right path, helping his child to maturity, even while the child might not understand the process. Now, we are, if we receive Jesus Christ, the children of God, and God is trying to keep us on the path to maturity by giving us both the history of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us in the correct direction. Now, what is the correct direction? We see the correct direction when we look at the essence of the character of God, who is our Father, the one we are trying to be like. The ultimate nature of God is to love, as 1 John 4:4-8 tells us. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we are to develop the loving nature of God, and Jesus Christ has come to give an example as to how we are to follow the example of God. Now, love is the ability to see life from another person's perspective and to live in such a way as to positively affect the perspective of others. Now, generally speaking, our parents give us our first experience with love, and we generally grow up to be like our parents, because personality is more caught than taught. And that means that we are affected more by what we experience than what we learn from listening to a lesson. The law is a lesson, and the lesson of the law is ineffective in changing our behavior. Grace and truth, that is, Jesus Christ, came to us as a person and gave us the experience of being with God, an experience which was more effective in helping us conform our behavior to the image and likeness of Christ rather than listening to the letter of the law. Consider what you would be like if you could spend personal time with Jesus Christ. How would your personality change? The Gospel of John is a chronicle of the lives of those who spent time with the Christ and how they changed. Now, the action of the Gospel begins with the coming of John the Baptist. Now, just in case you are confused as to who is whom, John the Baptist and John the writer of the Gospel, also known as John the Revelator, are two different individuals with the same name. John the Revelator was Christ's closest disciple. He wrote 5 books of the New Testament, those being the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, and is called a Revelator because he wrote the book of Revelation and to distinguish him from John the Baptist. John the Baptist performed his ministry before Jesus Christ came onto the scene and was executed by Herod shortly after Jesus came onto the scene, and is called the Baptist because of his ministry of baptism by the Jordan River. Matthew 3, 4, and 6 introduces us to John the Baptist. It says, "Now John," that is John the Baptist, "himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then all Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." John 1:19-23 tells us about John's interaction with the Jewish leaders. It says this, "Now this is the testimony of John," that being John the Baptist, "when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' Then they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourselves?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, the Jewish people were anticipating a great move of God, the rising to power of a great Jewish leader who would restore the political kingdom of Israel to the glory of the time of Solomon, when Jerusalem was the seat of an empire. And the reason that they were thinking that was because of the prophecy in Malachi 4:1-6, which reads as follows, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So now the Jews are anticipating the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. They considered the Romans as those who do wickedly because they did not worship God. The Jews were looking for the Son of Righteousness to come and heal their land and give them the power to trample the Romans. But now, before this could happen, according to the prophecy, the great prophet Elijah was first to come and restore the laws of Moses. So John the Baptist calling people to repentance reminded the Jewish leaders of the prophecy of Malachi. And so when they went to see him, they wanted to know whether or not he was the fulfillment of this prophecy. Hence, they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" Well, now, when John answered that he was not Elijah, the Jewish leaders guessed again, this time using the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, which was given to Israel by Moses, saying, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, What they have spoken is good. I will raise up a prophet like you, that is Moses, from them among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." So now the Jews want to know whether or not John is that prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy. John answered that he was not that prophet. So now the Jews are out of guesses, so they asked John directly who he was. And John responded with the prophecy that was in Isaiah 40. Verse 1 through 5 of that scripture says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now, John the Baptist, in his call for repentance, calls Israel to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. Iniquity, or sin, is going to be pardoned, because God is changing the dispensation, and rather than punishing people for their sins, God is sending them someone to redeem them from their sins. The prophecy of Isaiah is going to be fulfilled, and John is simply pointing past himself to the one who will ultimately save us. Moving on, John 1:24 through 27 tells us, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one amongst you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." Now, John recognizes that water baptism is simply preparation for the ultimate baptism which Jesus Christ will be giving. John is trying to get the attention of the people to get them ready for the coming in of the dispensation of grace through Jesus Christ. The signature of the dispensation of grace is that we will have the Holy Spirit with us to lead us into the truth of the gospel of grace. Now, Matthew 3:11 clarifies John's position. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, receiving the baptism of Jesus Christ will give us discernment, because we will have the Holy Spirit, and it will give us zeal because of the fire that he will put in us. Now, there are many people who have the zeal to help their fellow man, but lack the discernment of the Holy Spirit to know how to do it. There are some that understand the teachings and the actions of Jesus, but lack the zeal to take their knowledge into the highways and hedges where the hurting people reside. It is important that we as Christians develop both the discernment of the Holy Spirit and the desire to not just be intelligent, but to actually be useful in spreading the word of the Lord through our interactions with others. Now, as the story continues, Jesus comes to see John the next day. John 1:29-34 says this, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, John identified Jesus as the Lamb of God by the descending of the Holy Spirit upon him. Now, the Lamb of God is the sacrifice that is given daily on the altar. Numbers 28, 1 through 6 tells us this. It says, Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say to them, My offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, This is the offering made by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with one-tenth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So now, every day, the Israelite priests in the temple killed two lambs, one in the morning and one in the evening, and burned them on the altar according to Numbers 28. Now, Jesus came to end this sacrificial system, to stop the slaughter of lambs by becoming the Lamb of God himself. Hebrews 10, 11, 18 tells us, And every priest stands ministering daily, and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that being Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. By one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So now the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has come to end the daily offering of lambs because the offering is ineffective in that it can never take away sins. But Jesus' one sacrifice of himself has the capacity to make us mature through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to us and writing the laws of God in our hearts and minds. Since God is love and his laws are written in our hearts, we become loving as did Jesus Christ. And our love takes the same form that his love took. That is, we become self-sacrificial. We become givers of ourselves. We can become concerned about the eternal destiny of our peers and acquaintances. We become concerned about pleasing God. And we grow into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, the Gospel of John goes on to discuss the ministry of Jesus Christ, which was largely training his disciples. And we will continue that discussion with the calling of the disciples in our next lesson, because that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the ability to understand the interaction between the Jews and John. And we thank you, Lord, that he was the one that ushered in your ministry, that he was the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that as we go down from this place today, that you would help us to cry the same thing in the wilderness that we live in, that your way might be prepared not just in the lives of John and Jesus, but they might be prepared in the life of everyone that we know, that if we know somebody that does not know you, that we would cry out to them and give them an admonition, because we know that you're coming back one day for a church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that are in the house today, and we ask you that you would continue to bless and give them traveling mercies as they go to and fro this week and bring them back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for our gathering here, for the fun and for the fellowship that we have when we come together. We thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to meet with us and give us a mind to study your word and to understand your word, and then to go down from this place and utilize those things that we have learned in your word. Now, Lord, we're praying for Sister Allen, and we ask you, Lord, that you would continue her recuperative process, that you would bring her back to a full recovery and make her able to get around the way that she wants to, enable her to go where she wants to go, when she wants to go there, and just give her the strength that she needs, Lord. Keep her in your care. We're praying, Lord, for the McClure family as they have a daughter out at cheerleading practice. Lord, we ask you to keep her safe, and as she flies through the air and does flips and all those things, we ask you, Lord, that you would safeguard those bones and those joints and keep them strong and keep them healthy. We pray as they try to raise their children in the way that they should go, that you would give them guidance, that you would give them grace, and that you would give their children a mind, Lord, that they might be able to understand those things which their parents tell them, and recognize and realize that there is a reality in the benefit of listening to counsel, wise counsel from your parents. Lord, we pray for Brother Lee, and we ask you, Lord, that you would help him. We're in prayer for him and his family, and we ask you to give them the blessing that you know that they stand in need of. Lord, we're very much glad to see Sister Betty Gordon out today, and we ask you, Lord, that you would keep her safe and keep her riding through the streets in style as she is, Lord. Just keep her. We just thank you for her visitation today, and just keep her in all that she does. Lord, we pray for Brother Edwards as he tries to raise those two young fellas, and we ask you, Lord, to continue to give him the strength, bring him back home from Grand Rapids, help him to move his work location from Grand Rapids to somewhere in the city where he won't have to drive so far every day, and continue, Lord, to help him to raise those boys, Lord. Those are two young fellas that need a father, and we ask you, Lord, that you would help them, because all young fellas need fathers, and they have a good father, and just help them, Lord, as he continues to raise his children. Praying for my son, Lord, and I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help his little business as it grows, Lord. Give him more and more projects. Make people in Grand Rapids require computer services, or people elsewhere around the state that know about him, and help them to call him and let him be able to provide the services that they need. Help them to pay on time and to do good business with him, that his business may continue to grow and prosper. Lord, I pray for my wife, the love of my life, and I ask you, Lord, that you would continue to keep her healthy and keep her strong. Let her, Lord, stay with me and go along with those things that I'm doing. And I just thank you for the blessing that you have given me in keeping her safe and with me. And now, Lord, we pray for all those who are on the list that we've talked about today, those who are in harm's way. We ask you that you would put your arms of protection around them. Those who are living life backwards, Lord, we ask that you would turn them around and plant their feet on solid ground. Those who have potential marriage problems, we ask you that you would give them an understanding heart and a mature mind, that they might be able to think of their partner before they think of themselves. For all for whom we are praying, Lord, we ask you to meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Give us the desires of our hearts, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be like a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. A lamp that one puts on a light, that it might give light to, on a lampstand, that it might give light to all that are in the house. Help us, Lord, to live lives of virtue, that someone might see what we're doing and fall out with the wicked ways of this world and come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And now, Lord, we're asking for traveling mercies as we go to and fro this week on the dangerous highways. Keep us safe and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank God. We take this, our sacrament of remembrance, that we might always remember Jesus Christ. we ought always remember his maturity. We ought always remember his love. We ought always remember his ability to see things from other people's points of view and then have the ability to do things that will improve their perspective. Let us remember the ministry of Jesus Christ to us as the Lamb of God as we go down from this place. Let us remember it every day because of this sacrament of remembrance that we take. Let us remember Jesus as we eat and drink together. I may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.